and John earlier. My name is Josh Hobson, and I am on staff at Real Life Ministries Texas. I am humbled and honored to stand before each and every one of you. Today, we're going to take a journey together. We're going to go along a little path, a plan, if you will, understanding that God created a plan at the very beginning in Genesis. In Genesis 3:15, he created this plan and told us that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. And we see throughout the Old Testament that the prophets continued to share and continued to pave the way, the preparation of the plan of the coming of the Christ, the King, the Messiah. So, I was told out there to smile. Sorry, I came up here in full go mode. I've been waiting. See, back home in Texas, it's 1:30, and we would have already finished everything. And so we wake up early here in Arizona, in Alaska. Everybody talks about Arizona, going to Arizona here. It's a great place to visit. Okay. But this is home, right? So to get back to it, the Lord our God, He prepared a plan. And we're moving into Christmas to celebrate that plan. The coming of a king, the coming of a savior. And I'm going to camp out in two places in the word today. And that's going to be in Matthew, in the Christmas story, and Luke, in the Christmas story. And in those two places, what I want us to think about is about us in that place. About you and I in this relationship with Christ. Because what I want to talk about is the relationships we see that are happening when Christ is born. See, we can go through that place, and as we sit there and place ourselves in those moments, we can look around us and see those who are obedient to that plan, who are following Christ as He has asked us to, who are being disciple makers. We're here to talk to you guys the past few days about relational discipleship and understanding that relationships matter in the Word of God. From the very beginning, He shows us relationships, even from His own relationship as the triune God in His relationship with the Holy Spirit and Christ. And so I want to talk about the very first place. We're going to talk about three things, the three responses that we see around and surrounding the birth of Christ. There's three things that people demonstrated. There's doubt in the plan. There's rejection of the plan. And there's acceptance of that plan. And so we're going to start off in Matthew 1:18-24. If y'all want to go with me there, we're going to talk about those who doubt. I don't have notes for y'all. Sorry. Apologize. But we're going to talk about those who doubt. And this is the way it reads. Matthew 1:18-24. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 7:14. The preparation for the plan. Of course, Emmanuel means which means God with us. And when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. I think the important piece here is, let's key in on Joseph, the doubt. Let's go to that place. Let's put ourselves in that situation. Let's put ourselves that we are to marry a woman who is of age, and she comes to you and says, I'm bearing a son from the Holy Spirit of God Almighty. Now, Joseph knew from growing up, knowing the Torah, knowing what the prophets say, he knew this story. But could you imagine being that in that place? Imagine being Joseph and going, wait a minute. So you're telling me you have been chosen by God Almighty to bear the Savior of the world. I'll be honest with you. I'm a man of this world, and I would have a hard time believing that. I would doubt that. That's me. And I know that Joseph would have known, he knew the biblical prophecy. He may not have believed that Mary was to be a part of God's plan or even himself. He may not have known and thought that he even deserved to be in that place. It took an angel of the Lord to come to him and share with him, hey, believe in this. Trust in this. Trust in me. Trust in God Almighty and trust in this plan. And I'll tell you, I'm going to share a little bit about myself. Excuse me. I've doubted before. I've doubted my place in the plan. See, Christ has asked us to be in relationship with him and relationship with each other in the plan foretold. That we are to walk hand in hand together, walking through life in obedience to Christ. And I've doubted that before. I've doubted that I even deserve to be in that place. My testimony goes a little bit like this, and I'm going to share as we go. But I walked into this church at Real Life and didn't believe what they were doing. I doubted that relationships were the key to what Christ has asked of us. Now, yes, we are to believe in Christ. We are to follow Christ. We are to be repentant of our sins. We are to believe that he is our Lord and Savior. But that's not the end of it. You see, he calls us to be in relationship with each other. Matthew 4:19, he says, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Not fishers of fish out in the Kenai. No. No, fishers of men. Meaning that we are to be in relationship with one another so that we can go out and bring others and other brothers and sisters into a relationship with Christ. Sharing ourselves, sharing our lives with them. I'll tell you, I walked into that church a broken man. You see, I've had a lot of jobs in my life. One of them, I was a U.S. Border Patrol agent. One of them, I was a cook at a world-class barbecue restaurant. Jack of all trades and a master of none, as my father would say. But here's the part that wasn't known about me, is that I hid in my garage as an alcoholic. I've got a beautiful wife, a 10-year-old son, and a 3-year-old daughter. But I hid running from something. I had no idea what it was. I was filling my soul with something that was not of God. I was filling it of worldly, fleshly desires. And when I walked into this body of believers, and they loved me where I stood, just as God loves Joseph, just as Mary continued to love this man in that place, that the relationship matters. See, being in relationship brought me out of that garage and brought me into a body of believers who loved me where I was in all of my sin, in all of my messiness, in all of the nasty that the world told me was okay. And from there, doubt of my place in that plan faded. Just as doubt went away when the angel of the Lord came to Joseph and shared, just trust him. Just believe that he's got a plan for you. And you're a part of the great plan. Just trust him. And so he did. And then we move on from there. into rejection of the plan. And guess what? I'm going to share with you about my rejection in that plan. But before we get there, let's turn to Matthew 2. And we'll read Matthew 2, 1 through 8. It says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, a wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, telling us and preparing us for the plan. And you, O Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" We find that in Micah 5:2. "Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, and I too may come and worship him.'" If we skip a little further down, we go to Matthew 2, 6. Actually, hold on. We'll get there in a second. Let's talk about this piece. That talk about relationships in the environment. The Magi were not believers of the Lord God Almighty, but they knew a king through prophecy was to come. And in the relationship in that they were in, they set out to find him. They set out and went and had conversation with Herod because they thought, "We're looking for the king, and this is where we need to go to find the king, because the king should be here." But the rejection came from Herod. You see, Herod sent the Magi out to find a king that he found to be competition. He rejected a plan that was from God. And so rejecting that plan, he took very vicious steps. Matthew 2:16 reads, "Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. And he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which has been determined from the wise men." Let's put ourselves there. I'm a father. You mothers and fathers. Let's put ourselves in a place where rejection comes and a king that doesn't deserve to sit on the throne wipes out every boy under the age of 2. Harsh. Not accepting of a plan from a God. King Herod wanted to be the king of his own throne, not allow the rightful king to sit on his throne. This is something we talk about back home is that I often want to sit on the throne of my own heart and not allow the true king, King Jesus, to sit on it. Because I'm a sinning man and I work very diligently to be better for him every single day. But I rejected that plan. You see, I was saved in college. I was 22 years old, came to know the Lord. And there was a man that I was in a relationship with. First man that ever took me duck hunting in the Louisiana swamps. That's a different place. You think Alaska is different? The Louisiana swamps, that's a different place. What's that, sir? Some in Georgia too. I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that. It's a whole different type of hot down there too. But this man spent time with me. See, I didn't know what discipleship looked like at the time. I really didn't. It hadn't been explained to me. It hadn't been told to me. I hadn't experienced it. And just like when I walked into real life and I witnessed and I was a part of people loving me where I was and walking alongside me and helping me through my struggles, I realized what discipleship was. It was being in proximity, doing life together, being together, and doing what Christ calls and asks of us. Well, Mr. Van was my mentor. He was my discipler, a godly man. He spent many a night and day with me. I came to know the Lord. But see, in my youth, in the discipleship, in my immaturity, in my knowledge of my faith, one day Mr. Van took some guys out duck hunting. And as he was using his duck call, and a duck was cupping in, if y'all know what that is, y'all ever duck hunted, duck cups, coming into the swamp, a gentleman brought the shotgun down following that duck and put it right here and pulled the trigger. You see, a plan that I didn't think was right, I got really mad at God. Really, really angry. But see, I didn't know, I didn't understand that it wasn't him. It's the sin of the world that causes those things to happen. It's not God. He's not punishing. He's not that type of God. But I didn't know that because I wasn't in relationship. Just like King Herod sits on this throne by himself with nobody around him except those that he tells what to do. Nobody spoke truth into his life. Nobody walked alongside him. He didn't allow it. He rejected the plan. Now, I knew Christ, but I rejected his plan for me. I rejected that place. I said, there's no way a God that I serve would do something like that. Why would he do such a thing? And guess what? When I went to his memorial, his wife, the most stoic presence of a woman I've ever experienced. As I went in there with anger and rage and frustration, she hugged me, told me she loved me, and that Van loved me, and that he is in a great place with a great God. But that what I needed to realize that it wasn't God. That the sin of the world causes those things. And she said, look around here. Look around here. A thousand people here. A thousand people that Van influenced. And they're back here for him. They're back here because of what God had done through Van in their lives. And it changed my perspective. Relationships matter. That when we isolate, when I isolated myself, it made it really easy for me to find the faults in God's plan. And I realized I was wrong. That I worship a great God with a plan that I can't even fathom. And we get to come into the Christmas story. The reason, not to sound cliche, the reason for the season, why we are here, why we are gathered together, because the plan began with the birth of a Savior, our King. Now we get to get into the really good part, the accepted. Those around Christ at the time that he was born. And leading up into that, we already talked about the Magi. They knew of this plan, they heard of this plan, and they accepted that plan. And they went, and they visited, and they gave gifts, and they honored the true King. These kingly men, these men of priestly right, went there and honored a true King. Because they knew that there was going to be a king. They knew the plan, and so they arrived there to worship the king in that plan. Let's turn to Luke 2, 1 through 20. And let's look at those who accepted the plan in the relationship that we see around the birth of Christ our Savior. This is what Luke 2, 1 through 20 reads. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into the heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph with the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it has been told to them. These shepherds, we know, if we look at it in time, shepherds were lowly men. They weren't looked upon with grace and glory and love. They were hardly accepted. The shepherds were very lowly. And the angel of the heavens came before them and told them about what was happening. These men left their flocks, their livelihood, in a relationship together, being called into action, being called into his plan to go share about him. And that's what they did. They went with haste when called into action, into the plan. They ran down to find him. They shared the good news with others. That's what verse 17 says. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told of them concerning this child. They told others about him, what they experienced, what they'd seen. The Savior. Because guess what? I was just in a field and I watched an angel come down and the heavenly host saying. And they shared what they'd been asked to share. The good news of Christ coming. They returned back to their fields. Doing what? In verse 20. Glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. Just as the angel said. That they had experienced relationship. They had experienced the Christ child. And the Christ child wasn't even in a place yet to share about what discipleship even is. But the heavenly hosts, God Almighty, the prophecy, they knew what it was. They were asked to go and do, and they did. They accepted the plan where they stood and how they were called into action. They accepted it and did it. And Mary, Amazing Mary. Could only imagine the things that she thought. But this verse 19 reminds me very much of Miss Michelle, Mr. Van's wife, who was oh so stoic. And it reads this, Mary's response. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Mary's response was to treasure the good news, was to know that she was a part of the plan, that her husband didn't divorce her, that they were unified together in the plan in which Christ had commanded of them and asked of them to be a part of. They responded in obedience and submission to God. And she treasured that good news, witnessing and seeing that these shepherds had come. How'd they know about it? And they share that these angels came and told us about your son. And we're here to worship him and praise him. Mary's response was to treasure this amazing moment that she had got to be a part of. Accepting the plan. And she did that through the rest of her life. Could you imagine those shepherds? What all the other shepherds said when they went into town? What are you talking about, man? There's no way. Angels came down? Really? Yeah, really. He's here. The King. And we can find joy in that. We can find hope in that. If you are a believer of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and we're moving into this linear plan, let's make it real simple. God created it. And he put in a plan to redeem us because of our sin nature. The plan starts with the birth of a Savior. And you and I have been called into that plan. We have been called into action. We've been called to share, be in relationship with one another. This word is a powerful word. There's something my pastor says back home. He says, if you want to hear God speak to you, turn these pages and he'll speak to you. He speaks to us through this word. But he doesn't want us to just bottle it all up inside. That's not what he asks of us. He asks of us to go. To leave the comfort of our home, to leave the comfort of even this community of believers right here and go. To share what he's doing in your life, to share what he's done in your life, so that we can bring others along with us. We look at the disciples and what Christ did in their lives. He sent them out in pairs and sent them out to spread the gospel to all nations. Not to the gospel on your couch. To all nations. But hear me. Your nation may be your family at home. You mothers and fathers. Your children. They need to be discipled. They need to see it being lived out. We can't come here on Sunday and go home and forget everything that we heard here. It's about going and doing what Christ has called us to do. It's about being in relationships. This story of Christ is about being in relationship with Christ and each other. Because he calls us, he calls the disciples to go. It's a commandment for us. In Matthew 28, he calls each and every one of us to go out into the world and make disciples of all nations. You're not too old. You're not too young. You're just right. Because you're a part of the plan. Just like I am. Brothers and sisters, we move into Christmas rejoicing. We sang the songs of joy and belief and rejoice and faith. We rejoice in the fact that Christ has been born. He has died. He has ascended. And guess what? In that linear plan, we're right on the other side of that ascension. The next piece is He comes back. And where are you in that plan? Are you standing outside the path of the plan? I call you, brothers and sisters, to act within the plan that we've each and every one of us have been called to. Each and every one of us. It all started because a great God sent His Son to die on the cross for my sins and for yours, and then call us into relationship with one another to bring brothers and sisters along in discipleship, in relationships, being intentional, listening, loving. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, I'm grateful. I'm grateful to stand here in front of Your people, Lord. Grateful to bring a message that is from You about a plan that You created for us to be a part of, Lord God. Lord, I pray hearts and minds are opened to moving, to going, and being what You have called us to be, Lord God. Your shepherds, Your servants, Your people, Your church. Lord God, that we are called out of the comfort and into a new, bold relationship with each other and those that don't know You. Heavenly Father, may we not forget ever the reason we celebrate this time and this season. Lord God, Your Son has been born. And may we find joy and hope and peace in knowing that He will return. It's in Your Son, Jesus Christ, the King's powerful and holy name we pray. Amen. I want to say thank y'all for letting us be a part of this body. I'm grateful for it. I'm humbled to stand before you and honored to stand before you. I hope we get to do more of it.